video games, movies, comics.
Podcast from Oscar Mike Media.
Hello, from episode 52 of the Oscar White Media Podcast. I am, as per usual, your host, Chris Lipscomb. I am joined this week by editor-in-chief over at ScreenDemon.com, Lewis Gaston. Say hello, Lewis.
Hi.
We're also joined this week by middle-class chef Kev Adsett. Say hello, Kev.
Hello.
Unfortunately, Peter is in the car park somewhere. That's all the details we're going to give you. Presumably, as it's Northern Ireland, probably in the boot of a car. Which would be odd because he's emailing us from the boot of a car. Seems like he'd probably ask for help, but apparently not.
Surprisingly strong signal as well on the old 3G.
It's pretty rock solid. Right, so with him not here, this is going to be, we were relying on him to have played games. And he had played games. But now
Chris won't let me talk about Skyrim anymore.
He's not here. You can talk about Skyrim all you want. We'll just fill for like an hour with Skyrim content. It'll be fine.
But without Peter to bounce it off against, you might dry up quite quickly.
Yeah.
Not really.
You go, oh, yeah, have you been to that place with the thing?
No, I haven't played Skyrim.
And then I'll just swap it to, I went to the place where that thing was.
Ingenious. So.
Journey.
Yeah, Journey. I put this in because I knew you'd be excited about it. I need to actually look up when it is. But yeah, Journey. Has been
thrilled.
March 16th, did you say?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, that's my dad's birthday.
Oh, here we are. March 14th.
That is not my dad's birthday.
What's your dad's birthday, Eve.
Given that March 16th is a Friday and the store updates on a Wednesday.
Right.
Very chill, Jesus.
Yes.
So
I've just been delivered a Nestle Aero yogurt mousse deliciousness.
That's what it's all about.
The ones that only last for a teaspoon.
Yeah, I've just eaten it.
Yeah, that is the issue with those mousses. You're just like, well, I guess I'm
it's
done
a
now.
Shot of yogurt.
Yeah, okay. It's not yogurt; it's mousse.
For God's sake! You just pick me up on everything today.
Somehow they're different. I don't really know, but they are apparently.
Moussier.
I think mousse isn't alive because yogurt's alive, but
not all yogurts.
Not all yogurts, to be fair, are alive, but like the decent yogurts are.
I don't think it's alive. I think it's live. There's cultures in them which are live. I don't think they're alive. It's not like some horrific carnivorous snack.
But no, because if the
chowing down on some little
no, because if the bacteria cultures are in there, they're clearly alive. So,
well, define life.
Bacteria definitely counts.
Right.
We need to find a biologist. They'll help us
out.
But
it's not purely bacteria, so it's not... Yeah, the yogurt itself isn't alive.
Yeah, okay, the yogurt contains things that are alive, but pretty much all food does, because there's bacteria in, like, everything, so...
Your eyelashes contain things that are alive.
Yeah, that's
true.
That's
crabs, and you need to go and see a doctor.
Damn those eyelash crabs.
I imagine him like Mr. Krabby.
Not a sentence I thought I'd hear myself saying this early on.
I imagine him like Mr. Krabby from SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
I don't think I've ever seen SpongeBob.
SpongeBob SquarePants is awesome.
Is it?
It's a good show.
Is it though?
So, Journey, eh?
Yeah.
I thought you'd be excited about this.
I am. No one told me, did they?
Well, we can't just tell you everything.
Wait. Ah, there's a problem with the call again.
Oh, well, are you still here?
I'm still here.
Oh, we'll just carry on, fuck it. Kev will come back in a minute. We apologise, Kev's internet is intermittent. This is not going to be a good podcast, so...
It's not.
If you're not really feeling this, probably just tune out now, because it's only going to go downhill from here.
I've got a great quiz.
Oh, yeah. Just skip ahead like an hour, and it'll be the quiz, and that's pretty good. The rest of it, probably not so much. So Journey. We can't just tell you about everything that happens.
I'm not asking for everything.
Just all,
considering how much I love
just
Journey.
Just all Journey related details.
Every podcast for the past like 6 months I've been going, Journey.
So basically if something happens about Journey you want to know.
Yes, pretty much.
You could just
if I hadn't been randomly searching the internet today, I wouldn't have found out.
You could just sign up to like the RSS feed for Journey on TSA.
I could, but no.
Fair enough. So basically, you have no one but yourself to blame.
No,
I'm giving you ways of getting updated on all the Journey news.
That's why I surround myself with you people.
Well, we're telling you now. It's like this is the time where we tell you things.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't exactly up to date information, was it?
Well, it was on like the site today.
Yeah, and which I found myself.
Yeah, but if you hadn't, we would have been up to date.
But you would have been hours behind.
Well, yeah, but I
don't care for that.
Would you like me to just have like rang you in the middle of school? Like, Journey has been dated. Term. Oh, it is half term, isn't it? Oh, I'd forgotten that. Well, next time there's Journey information, I will ring you like in the middle of a class and just give you the Journey info.
Do it. You'll have to leave a message because I'm not allowed my phone in class.
Oh, that's a shame because I just imagine you like in class get in the call. I need to take this call.
It's very important.
Journey information.
Journey. Yeah. So
just have like a special second phone that's only for receiving Journey related information.
Oh, that would be awesome! Like a red old style 60s one.
Yeah, just
on
like
a podium
in your classroom, and it just flashes red when there is Journey information.
Anyone touches that phone, it's serious repercussions.
No, that's the Journey phone. You can use the normal phone over there. This one is for Journey.
I don't care if your head is bleeding. The medical phone is over there.
It's the Journey one, right? Yeah, it's pretty exciting though, and it should be good, and I'm quite looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. The only thing, because I saw the price, they said it would be $19.99 or no, $15. So I want to know what that will become, because it's quite, although I'll probably still buy it, it's still quite pricey.
$15 could be like £9, £8.
Yeah. It'd be good that would be just a no-brainer if it is, but.
We see, well, because I know they don't use actual conversion, but yeah, in
that
actual conversion, that's
sensible.
In actual conversion, that's like £9.50. Mm. That's not unreasonable.
No, I'd pay that for Journey.
Yeah,
but like I say, I'd probably pay £20 for Journey. So
yeah, I mean, that's true. And although it's only like 6 hours long or something, it's the kind of game that you could play 100 times and always find new shit.
Killzone was only 4 hours long.
Yeah. But I mean, but with Journey, there's a lot of replayability as well.
Yeah,
because like that, it's going to be
and it's something new and different. As
yeah,
well.
You're going to find different ways of playing it every time you go through it. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. The other big thing that happened, let me just find it. Oh yeah, the Game BAFTA nominees were announced, which is rather important. Kev's not back yet. Shame. Yeah. So there's some good ones in here. Quite as always, I kind of trust the BAFTAs a lot more than other gaming awards personally, because they seem like they've got some respectability to them. Similar to the I think there's the DICE Awards, and they're voted on by like other developers, and they feel like they've got more weight to them than like Spike or anything does.
Just an update on Kev. Did you get the text?
No, my phone's over there somewhere.
He sent another text saying it's gone again. He might have to skip out of this week.
Be fine. Be two of us, whatever. We'll be fine. Might be a bit short or whatever. So, yeah, the main things. The big ones are Arkham City. That's in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 6, 7, 8. Yeah, so Arkham City is in like 8 categories, which is pretty solid.
Yeah.
Having a quick glance, I think that's probably the most.
That's got a fairly good chance of winning it as well, because it's a solid game.
It's tied between Arkham City and LA Noire with 8 nominations each.
LA Noire won't win.
No.
Maybe for technical achievement, but other than that.
Well, yeah, I think LA Noire might win in artistic achievement, possibly.
Facial animations, but other than that.
Yeah.
I mean, even artistic, but I'm not even sure it would win over Batman. No.
So the main categories are action, which is Assassin's Creed, Revelations, Batman, Modern Warfare, Deus Ex, Portal 2, and Uncharted 3. I think that'll probably end up being between Batman and Uncharted.
Yeah,
realistically. Because I wouldn't really call... Call of Duty's not really an action game, is it? And neither is Portal 2, really.
No, and it can't... Modern Warfare can't win, because there's nothing new or outstanding about it whatsoever.
Exactly. Artistic achievement is Batman, L.A. Noire, Little Big Planet 2, Rayman Origins, The Elder Scrolls, and Uncharted. I think Rayman Origins has probably got a good shout there.
What, Skyrim?
For artistic achievement.
See, I think that has got a lot of potential there.
I reckon that could go... Like, Rayman Origins is very interesting in one direction, definitely. I mean, Skyrim's got the complete opposite direction, so...
I think Skyrim's got the... In terms of artistic direction, it's got the, you know, all the different cities, different races.
Yeah,
different
I mean,
weapons.
That's certainly true.
I think there's masses more there.
But on the other end of the scale, I don't think there's anything very like Rayman out there. It feels quite unique. True. Like, the Elder Scrolls, Skyrim, the Elder Scrolls, whatever, has, like, what it has an awful lot of, and that's wonderful. But I question to what extent it's sort of truly original. There are other fantasy games out there that which might not be as good, but are doing very similar types of thing.
It might not be original, but in terms of the art behind it, it doesn't. I don't think it has to be original to qualify it as being artistic. If you see what I mean,
yeah.
I see where you're coming from. Rayman is like Journey. It's, you know, it's different and something out there. So it should be recognised for that. But at the same time, if we're talking artistic direction, I think it would be really difficult to overlook Skyrim just because it's not seen as sort of completely different.
Yeah, it's true. I think that, I think for me that's going to be between Skyrim and silly Kev doesn't understand how to join calls. so I think that's probably going to be between Skyrim and Rayman for me. I think the two probably leads in that category.
I suppose it depends on what they look for, really, when they actually give the award. Because even looking at Batman, you could say that's got some great artistic direction behind
it. Yeah, well, it's because it's artistic achievement as well. I think L.A. Noire could go in there if you look at like art from a technical perspective.
Yeah,
it could be quite interesting.
It depends if there's a separate award for technical achievement, though.
Yeah, I think if there's, let me see. I'm not sure there is. If there's a technical achievement award, it'll probably walk that, but.
Mm.
Audio achievement.
Ooh.
So I've got my pick in this, I think, but it's
nommed.
Batman, Battlefield 3, Modern Warfare 3, Dead Space 2, The Nightjar, and Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. I think that's going to go to Battlefield 3.
I was just about to say, the... Batman, apart from the score, isn't particularly inventive in terms of sound.
No.
Uncharted 3 has nothing new to it over Uncharted 1 or 2. And Battlefield 3 did have some pretty weighty sound effects to it that made it very realistic.
I think Battlefield 3 was very impressive. So I kind of think Battlefield 3 is probably good. But I haven't played The Nightjar, which I assume it's like an indie title of some sort. So that's
like a program that should be on CBeebies.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? But I reckon if The Nightjar has been nominated for that and it's a little known title, it must have something interesting in it.
Mm.
So you never know. You never know. But yeah, no, I think Battlefield 3, the sound effects in that are very well done. It's got a very real kind of feeling to it.
Yeah, and like we said, out of all those nominations there, we don't know Nightjar, but out of the ones we know, there's nothing really standing out from them. So hopefully,
best game. That's the big one, obviously. There's two best game awards at the BAFTAs, if you remember, because it's the game one as well.
The people vote for.
Yeah. But
what's voted for? What's the nomination? What are the nominations for the BAFTA one?
So the BAFTA one is Batman Arkham City, FIFA 2012, which won't get, L.A. Noire, Portal 2, Skyrim, and Skyward Sword.
That's, what, Uncharted 3 is not?
No. I'm surprised that FIFA 2012 is in over Uncharted 3.
Yeah, that's a bit strange. That is a very tough call between Skyrim and Batman. And from my point of view, just purely because of the number of hours that it offers, I'd give that to Skyrim.
Yeah, for me, I haven't played Skyrim, but for me it goes between Batman and Portal 2.
Portal 2 is obviously a contender. I haven't played that one, but obviously for me,
Portal 2 is kind of wonderful. I think you can discount L.A. Noire. I don't think that'll get it. I think L.A. Noire is very, like we said, it's very impressive technically, but beyond that,
gameplay-wise,
it's not amazing.
No. It's certainly nowhere near Skyrim, Portal 2, and Batman in terms of sort of popularity and acclaim. So
FIFA's not going to get it. I'd be surprised if Zelda gets it. But I can't call it between Batman, Portal 2, and Skyrim. It's too tough. And I think those were the top three in our Game of the Year awards as well. So
that's the thing I love about the BAFTAs, though. It's the same with the film things. Out of those, I actually wouldn't mind who won that.
No, I think if Batman, Portal 2, or Skyrim won that, I'd be equally happy with any of those, because I think any of those could take it. Okay, debut game. This is an interesting category. It always is. Bastion.
Not played that, but heard amazing
very,
things
very
about
good
it.
Things. Euphoria.
Not played it, which, but again, heard.
Yeah, weirdly, that was on TSA this morning as well.
On PSN yet, or is it?
It's coming soon, but it's on PC at the minute, I think.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's. It might be on PSN, but I'm not positive. Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet. I've heard like ridiculously good things about that.
Again, not played it, but heard.
L.A. Noire.
No.
I don't think so. Monster Mind. Not heard anything about it.
No.
And Rift, which I've heard good things about.
See, I think that is a category where L.A. Noire could justify winning it. I'm not saying it deserves it.
I wouldn't like L.A. Noire to win it, but in terms of what it's doing for a debut game, it's very impressive. But it's kind
of
sneaky because it's not really a debut game.
No, because it's been ongoing for a while and it's Rockstar.
It's been ongoing for so long. And it's so heavily funded by Rockstar that it kind of feels cheating.
Actually,
a little
bit. They say it from that point. I agree with you there.
It kind of feels like it's cheating a bit, doesn't it? But you never know. I mean, it qualifies as a debut game because whatever they're called,
Team Bondi.
Yeah, Team Bondi was their first title, but
it'll be their only title.
Yeah, because they're gone. So, all right, design.
Oh,
that's a lot of categories here. I might not read all of these out. I'll skip. There's a couple of these I can easily skip. Design, Batman, L.A. Noire, Little Big Planet 2, Portal 2, Super Mario 3D Land, and Skyrim.
Oh, that's got to be Skyrim.
Yeah, I think that's got to be Skyrim. Family, whatever. Game innovation. Bastion. So best game innovation at the BAFTAs. Bastion.
See, that could go to L.A. Noire if it's nominated.
Yeah, it is. I think that's got to go to L.A. Noire. L.A. Noire or possibly Child of Eden.
I've not played that one. Again, there's loads that I've heard of, but not played, and I've heard good things about them. But in terms of a technical achievement.
I'm skipping a couple of categories here. Original music.
Oh, that's got to be Skyrim or Batman.
So it's Assassin's Creed, Batman, Deus Ex, L.A. Noire, Skyrim, or Uncharted.
The
Uncharted's score is amazing.
I've got, because although I'm not a massive fan of Uncharted 3, I've got the soundtrack to that. I've got the soundtrack to Batman, and I really desperately want the soundtrack to Skyrim. So any of those three, I think, would be good. But then I think the Assassin's Creed soundtracks are really good as well.
Yeah, they're generally.
Yeah, I think they're quite underrated as well.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, because again, I don't like the games. I haven't played any past like the first half of the first game, but I bought the whole collection off iTunes for a fiver, and that's like 76 songs, and there are proper some really good music in there.
Yeah.
I think you're missing out by not playing them.
I don't like it. I played the first one. I just don't like
it. Yeah, you can't judge the entire series on the first one.
Well, I'm sorry, but I do.
No, I have to say, the second, the first,
faffing around and stuff.
The first one can kind of be excluded. They changed so much going into the second one that it's a very, gameplay-wise, it's very dissimilar.
The problem with it is I found the first one very boring, which is why I didn't complete it. But I also think that they're quite a story-heavy game. So I feel like I'm missing out.
I think you could come into the second one without having completed the first one.
I think you could come into the second one having read what happens in the first one on Wikipedia.
Yeah, definitely. You could definitely do that and you'd be fine. Because the second one and then Brotherhood, I haven't played Revelations yet, but both Assassin's Creed 2 and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, the ending to those is absolutely insane. But the ending to Assassin's Creed wasn't that crazy, really. So,
I think it's safe to say that Revelations continues the tradition of insane endings as well.
Fair enough. Best performer. This is my favourite category at the BAFTAs, actually, I think.
Best what, sorry?
Best performer.
It's going to go to Nolan North, isn't it? Or Mark Hamill.
Nolan North is nominated. So Aaron Stanton for Cole Phelps.
Mark Hamill for Joker. In LA Noir, actually.
Yeah, Mark Hamill for the Joker. Nolan North for Nathan Drake. Stephen Fry for the narrator in Little Big Planet 2. Stephen Merchant as Wheatley in Portal 2.
That's quite a good shout.
Yeah, it's very
although
cool.
He is just being Stephen Merchant. Like,
that's
and
true.
Stephen Fry is just being Stephen Fry.
Yeah. Stephen Fry is just reading stuff.
which is great, but...
It's lovely.
It's not a performance
as
such.
Yeah, and a weird one is the last nomination. Togo Igawa as the, diplomat, advisor, and military general in Total War Shogun 2.
What?
The thing that I like about that is, you know, there was all that fuss over Mark Hamill and that being stuffed away and not given the airtime. The thing I like about that is that if they're at the BAFTAs, they'll be treated like a
like
they should be.
Exactly.
Which makes me a little bit proud.
For me, that's between Mark Hamill and Nolan North.
Mm.
I like Stephen Merchant in that, but Mark Hamill and Nolan North give ridiculous
Well, they're both acting, whereas Stephen Merchant's just being himself.
But the thing that I think
funny, isn't it?
Gives Mark Hamill the edge is that it's more of an acting role, if you know what I mean. Drake is
Nolan North is as close to being himself when he's Nathan Drake as he ever is. So.
Whereas the Joker, if someone hadn't told me
he wouldn't know
that that was Mark Hamill, there was no way that I would have ever chosen him.
I think the thing you have to consider with Nolan North, though, on the other hand, is that he is actually, like, all the motion capture stuff that goes into that role.
That is true.
Yeah.
As well,
Which none of the other roles have, really.
No.
I presume...
That'd be a tough call, but I'd be happy with either Mark Hamill or Nolan North.
I mean, I presume Steve Merchant did very little motion capture for Wheatley.
They probably used his head movements. Looking around.
Exactly. All right.
Nolan North, of course, Penguin.
He was very good as the Penguin.
In Batman.
And also pretty the Space Sphere and the Adventure Sphere in Portal 2.
See, if I was nominating, that's what I'd give Nolan.
Taking
the motion capture out of the way.
I'd
nominate him for because it was more of a performance.
I'd nominate him for the Space Sphere.
I concur.
Story. It's the same group of games over and over again, though. Batman, Deus Ex, Alien Noir, Portal 2, Skyrim, and Uncharted 3.
Assassin's Creed Revelations in there.
No.
Again, I'd be torn between Batman and Skyrim, because Batman did manage to fit all of those sort of villains into a believable storyline. They weren't just chucked in.
It did.
And Skyrim obviously just has the entire mythology behind it, which I find absolutely mind-blowing. Uncharted, I don't think should get it because it's no departure from the first two.
No. I think Alien Noir you can exclude. I think Portal 2...
Why?
Just doesn't feel very strong story-wise.
No, and it was a lot of this repetition.
Yeah. I think...
But was that not gameplay rather than story?
I suppose so.
No, because the story was... Although, obviously, that's part of... The gameplay is because of the story, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, fair enough. I've never played it. I was just wondering.
Portal 2 is a very strong contender in comparison to the original Portal, but I just don't think it's there quite.
I think the creativity behind it is there, whether or not they got all the ideas in the right place.
Yeah.
It's not as blockbuster.
No.
As the others in the country.
No.
But I don't think that appeals to the BAFTAs. That's what I like about them. I don't think they take into consideration the fact that it was massively popular. Exactly.
I think Portal 2 did do interesting things though with some of the revelations about the past of Aperture, which is quite interesting. So I'm not sure I'd exclude that entirely. I'd be happy if Batman, Skyrim, or Portal 2 took that. So, yeah. I don't want to focus on this too much, but Dark Souls and Deus Ex are nominated in the strategy category, which is a bit odd. Yeah. Weird. moving on. BAFTA, one to watch. Award in association with Dare to be Digital. Can't really pick this, but it's between Doom Reaver, Joust, and TikTok Toys. So, good luck to those three.
Dreamweaver, don't they make websites with that?
Yeah, it's true. and finally, the Game Award of 2011, which is the publicly voted best game one, because there's the BAFTA one that we did earlier. Batman, Battlefield 3. I'm not even going to list this. This has been Modern Warfare 3.
It's such a shame.
It's Batman, Battlefield, Modern Warfare, FIFA, L.A. Noir, Minecraft, Portal 2, Skyrim, Skyward Sword and Uncharted, and it'll be Modern Warfare 3.
See, I think this year, actually, there might be a chance for it not to be, because I think a lot of people are realising that Modern Warfare's not doing anything new, whereas there is also a lot of love out there for Skyrim and Batman now.
Yeah, but I think just in terms of sheer volume.
Yeah, just mass.
Yeah. The only two I could see, I could potentially see it being Minecraft, solely because they could...
I think it's amazing that Minecraft's even in that list. Yeah. Like a game which was started by one guy up against like studios with millions of pounds. Yeah. Amazing.
And I think the thing with Minecraft as well, it could take that because it's public vote and they've got such
It has a ridiculous user base.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And a very tightly knit one.
That'd be great to see though, because at least then it wouldn't be Modern Warfare, which I'm guessing has been the winner of that for the past 2 years.
I think it's always been the Call of Duty. Yeah. Just always is.
And it would be good, like you say, Kev, to see someone that's built that up from working on his own.
Yeah, would be. Final
what
bit.
Dude.
So that's the BAFTAs. Final bit of news. There are no more PSN comics. Ooh. So I haven't read the statement. Let me just go find it. But I assume that what has happened is that they've just gone, it's not commercially viable.
I sort of forgot that there even was comic.
Yeah, that's sort of the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's ending in September. It's not being transitioned to the Vita, I guess.
It's weird to cancel it now before they've seen if it picks up.
Yeah, because it says the PSP's comic download service is stopping. And no new content will be added after March 15th, which is quite short notice, I feel.
Dad's birthday eve.
You'd think because of the trackpad at the back that they'd actually make for good.
Yeah, you know, it would
feel
good.
You could swipe it to swipe across a panel and be a bit more interactive with it. But.
So perhaps there'll be a Vita service, but it seems odd that they wouldn't just roll this into a Vita service, you know? Seems peculiar. Unless they're tying in with one of the bigger distributors like Comixology or someone like that. Yes. And the other bit I noticed, Assassin's Creed 3 has been announced and dated and stuff.
What?
Sometime in October, because we didn't know that was going to happen already.
Oh, my God.
And did I read somewhere that GTA 5 is out this year?
No, that's not going to happen.
I heard someone say it was out in November.
No way. That's just a rumour.
I was saying, that would be mental, because we've not seen anything whatsoever.
Yeah, because I don't always pay a lot of attention to the news every week, but I think we would have noticed if a GTA 5 date had been announced because Twitter would have exploded.
Through that.
It would have just been all the trending topics of Twitter would just be GTA 5. Next up, what we did as per usual. Peter's not here, so we're just going to make something up about the Vita, I guess. It's good, is what I hear.
I heard that too.
Yeah.
I've had confirmation from PlayStation Access that they've ordered mine and they'll send it to me as soon as it's arrived.
They've ordered it? That seems a weird way around to do it.
I know. So,
we've ordered it from Amazon.
I don't know where they got it.
We're sending it as a gift.
That was like a week ago. So I emailed them again yesterday just saying, sorry to be impatient, but any news? Yeah. I think Al also sent an email on the same day before, like asking me if I'd been talking to them. I don't know what he said because he didn't say, but he's just said like, oh yeah, I just spoke to him as well. And I got a message back saying, hey Kev, just waiting on memory cards, mate. They're coming on Friday. I'll get it sent over to you then via courier.
Awesome. Are you getting a memory card as well?
They come with with the Vita. It's like the bundle thing. The only way to buy it is with a memory card now, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I heard somewhere. Because they kind of went, oh, no, that's insane.
Yeah, because you need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me just check, but I think so.
Like selling someone a desktop computer without a mouse.
Yes.
Or the tower.
Yeah,
exactly. I think it's only like the 4 gig card, but...
That's okay.
I think it comes with it. I'm not positive, but...
I hope Al didn't go in all guns blazing, just busting chops.
And then you also let's not hear them getting any memory cards and Vitas and that.
So be like, because he is well Scottish.
Oh, hello, Al.
Didn't realize
you were joining the podcast.
Al is odd in that his level of Scottishness varies because he's not actually Scottish because he's English.
He's
lived up there for ages.
But he's had to blend in.
Yeah, exactly.
So don't pretend to be Scottish, you get your head kicked.
So I can't confirm this, but I was listening to this was on the Giant Bombcast.
That is a scientific fact.
I believe in the Giant Bombcast they said that the only way to buy it was like is this bundle thing that just came with it.
Yeah, but don't listen to that, listen to this.
I was gonna say you're listening to other podcasts.
Yeah. I don't listen to this.
You hussy.
That'd be awful. Just listen to myself for 2 hours.
Am I the only one that doesn't actually listen to this back?
No, because I normally edit it, so I don't listen to it.
Yeah, but that's different. You don't listen to it, do you?
As was said, I believe in High Fidelity, that listening to yourself is a little bit like masturbation.
I don't actually say much, though, so...
It's not really much like it, I'll be honest. I mean, I've tried both. And they're quite dissimilar.
Fair enough.
Have you done them at the same time? Now that would be...
I love the sound of my own voice. I love the sound of my own voice.
That's just super creepy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so I can't confirm, but I think it does, because it would seem...
I was going to say, don't knock it till you try it, but...
It would seem crazy if the Vita doesn't come with a memory card. And a Sony are just like, we hate consumers.
Yeah.
Potentially they might be.
But if you felt like it, apparently you can get a PS Vita bundle on Amazon with stuff.
It's also available from other regions.
Oh, you get an 8 gig memory card and a £15 game. Yay.
How much are the games?
I don't know what £15 game. It says you get a £15 game for free.
So but, oh, like,
okay, okay,
out.
I see. They're basically, they say that you, if you check a game, they'll only charge you £15 for it. So they have, for available for selection, they have Asphalt, Injection, Michael Jackson, Rayman Origins, Dungeon Hunter Alliance, Lumines, and Virtua Tennis 4. Out of those, I'd probably pick Rayman, which is a pretty good reduction on Rayman as well, because it's £32.99, but they'll sell it to you for £15 if you buy it at the Vita. Yes, and you also get the you get the 8 gig memory card for free with that bundle, which is pretty solid. Well, pretty solid, I feel. Yeah,
I think we did well of filling in for Peter.
Yeah, just made up stuff out of Vita,
considering it wasn't here.
Lewis, you've been watching something called Julia's Eyes, and now either this is a film or you've actually been watching Julia's Eyes, which I really hope it's not the second one because that's super creepy.
It was the
pretty
one
dreamy.
Whilst listening to the podcast, whilst you know what.
That's just weird. That just sounds like you trapped someone called Julia.
It's an audiovisual sensation, really. It's all going on.
No, it's a film. It's a Spanish film. It's actually called Los Ojos de Julia.
Oh, Julia's eyes.
Yeah, see,
I speak Spanish.
And it's absolutely brilliant. It's presented by Guillermo del Toro.
Presented?
Yeah, because he doesn't actually... I don't know what incapacity that means. But he's like in the same way that he presented The Orphanage.
I see. I present to you an orphanage.
Lel orfanato. That's what he'd say.
He probably would.
If
he was racist.
That's how you say it. But yeah, no, it's really good. It's a thriller in which a woman whose vision is failing her is investigating the apparent suicide of her blind sister.
And then steals someone's eyes.
Nearly.
Okay, that makes this film sound weird now.
No, it's not nearly. She doesn't steal anyone's eyes at all. They're donated to her. She, yeah, so her sister apparently kills herself, although from the very beginning we know that that's not entirely true because you see a foot come out of the darkness and kick the stool away from underneath her. And she starts to suspect this, but the police can't see any foul play or any evidence of anything else taking place, so she has to investigate, you know, what she thinks is going on. But her eyesight slowly fails her, and then she has an operation where she's given new eyes from a donor, but still has to spend 2 weeks completely bandaged, otherwise it won't work. And I can't say too much, because if you're going to watch it, it will ruin it, because obviously it's a thriller and a murder mystery. You want all those pieces to be there when you watch it. But it's extremely intense and very suspenseful. and the really clever thing about it is, because she's blind, there comes a point where the director's just gone, well, if she's blind, we're not going to see it either. So she's like putting her... She's got a carer to look after for these 2 weeks while her eyes sort of adjust. And you never see his face, which it gets extremely frustrating, but obviously then, you know, helps you understand what she must be going through. And when you do see his face, you start thinking, is that the same man that we saw earlier? Because you see his face once at the very beginning or towards the beginning, and then, like I say, it's hidden from view for the rest of the time. And by the time it's revealed again, you start doubting whether or not that's the same person.
Because okay.
you just can't remember. And then it the mystery unravels. She finds out who kills her sister. She's now in danger and is really tense, sort of cat and mouse chase through the killer's house and stuff like that. So it's extremely clever and extremely well done. And like I say, it's very suspenseful. It's the same sort of feeling I got from watching Seven. Just quite, you know, like,
Sounds pretty good.
It is.
Yeah,
it
does really sound very interesting.
And on the old love film list.
The only problem with it is the very ending, which is after everything's done, been revealed and whatever. The very ending is a little bit hammy, but other than that, it's like I say, it literally is just a 2 second ending that's quite hammy and sentimental, but other than that, the rest of it's, absolutely brilliant. Highly recommend it.
Cool.
The other thing as well is because she's obviously blind, when she can see, although albeit impaired, there's lots of sort of play with the dark and the light. So she's like staring around a dark house and you think you see a shadow, but you're just not sure because it's, you know, her visions is blurry, so what you get to see is almost what she would see. So it's done really, really well.
Is it Spanish language film?
Yes.
I expect it's Julia's eyes then.
No, it's Julia.
Julia.
Los Ojos de Julia.
Wait, so it's in Spanish, and also for a lot of the film, because she's got her eyes wrapped up, you don't really see very much. So
the things like the person's face are, it's not blurred or anything like that, obscured. It's either camera movement or screen positioning that puts their face out of the picture.
Oh, okay, I see.
So you only see them from the shoulders down.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. So you see, you're not like literally blind like she is, but you just...
No, you see, it's yeah, just there, shots there are certain you aspects that certain are taken details. Away from you, yeah. And yeah, then it does go into her perspective in a couple of bits just to, you know, get to to see what she's trying to work out, but they're not long and they're not overly used, so it's not like the film's completely blurry. That would just be shit.
Just had Vaseline on the lens the entire time.
But no, it's done through screen positioning that things are out of shot, so you can't see them. And like I say, that was really frustrating. Yeah. But it worked. You know, that's the whole point of it, is the fact that she can't see anything. So imagine how she could feel.
Yeah,
something.
I like it. I like that as using the camera as a metaphor is nice.
And Julia is the same woman that plays Laura in The Orphanage, and she's very good in it.
Cool.
Awesome. Kev.
Hello.
You've been doing something called Conviction.
I have been watching.
This is how much
I watched
attention.
A film called Conviction. yes, it's a 2010 film based on a true story. About a brother and a sister, the brother of which gets convicted of gets a life sentence for murder and robbery of a woman who lives in a trailer next door, and his ability to appeal his conviction using like public defenders, he uses all his options basically, and he just doesn't get an appeal. And so without a lawyer, he's just going to die in prison because he's just got a complete life sentence. And so his sister, who was a high school dropout, decides to dedicate her entire life to saving her brother because she knows that he didn't do it. Cinematically, like they don't tell us whether or not he did it. So like we've got to just go based on what we've seen and what we know of the brother and the sister and like whether or not we think she's too close to him to know whether or not he's innocent, and he never actually sort of admits it to the camera whether or not he did it or not. But anyway, the movie actually like flicks forward in time quite quickly. Like, it was quite confusing at some point when she just had like two quite grown up sons. Because the last scene they were quite babies or something. I don't know.
That's generally how it works. They start off with babies.
Yeah, it's confusing, yeah, that. The linear progression of time.
It would be odd, to be honest, if they didn't. But
anyway, so she goes to law school, tries to get a law degree, and she's not doing very well. And then Betty Ann Waters is the character played by Hilary Swank, and her brother is played by... Rockwell. They're both very good. It's one of the only movies I've seen where the main character's American accent is almost too strong for me to understand. There are a couple of bits where I was like, "What? I didn't hear any of that." I had to rewind like the last 30 seconds. That was weird. But anyway, she spends like a long time basically becoming a lawyer and trying to prove his innocence. I won't say, you know, whether or not she succeeds in becoming a lawyer, or indeed eventually proving his innocence, because that would ruin the entire point of the film. And it's based on a true story, like I said, so anything can happen. It's not necessarily just going to go, they all drank lemonade, the end.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was really good.
Are you saying they don't drink lemonade at the end? Because if they don't...
I'm saying I'm not going to tell you whether they do or not.
I'm not interested in films without lemonade drinking.
Without
they
a lemonade closure
in the courtroom.
That's me.
Yeah, that's true.
Then. Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah, it's pretty urban. It's set like in the late 80s, early 90s as well. So they've got pretty retro computers and that. Anyway, I thought it was really good. Have you seen it, Lewis?
No, the only reason I asked is because I wanted to see it from the trailer, and then I read the true story to it. But then when the film came out, the only reviews I ever read of it were panning it, saying that they completely missed the point of the true story, and that they missed all of the sort of the drama and the emotion of it all. So I never actually got around to watching it, but I just wondered because.
I didn't read any of the true story. I don't know what the actual sort of sequence of events was. I can only go by what the film sort of showed me.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Don't get offensive.
It's kind of... I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. It may be true that it's not quite as emotionally harrowing as I think it's maybe trying to be. So maybe that's to its detriment. But
if you're going blind, it's
I didn't know the story. I didn't know what was going to happen. And so yeah, it kept me watching. Not like that bloody Tree of Life. Sat through 20 minutes of random CGI space and then dinosaurs, and then I was like, "What is this?" And just turned it off. For me.
Dinosaurs in space separately or together? Because if there's space dinosaurs,
chronologically,
space. Chris was about to wear his pants then.
Space dinosaurs.
I'm fucking all over space dinosaurs.
Yes, you are.
Pardon?
Anyway, Conviction's good. Watch it. You might not think it's good.
I might give it a watch. Just, but like I say, it's just one of those situations where something sticks in your head and you just put it off.
Completely. And especially if you read, I think if you read bad reviews for things before you see it, then you're just going to go into it thinking it's a bit bad anyway. And
yeah,
I've done that with films before, where I've read something and some guy was just like, oh, well, this, and then as I was watching it, I was like, actually, yeah, he's probably right. Whereas I may not have noticed that sort of thing before. But yeah, I like it. I think it was thought-provoking. It's interesting to see, because obviously the brother's in prison for a large portion of the film. Obviously, with the exception at the beginning, where it has to set up the storyline. And it's interesting to see kind of the transformation that he goes through whilst he's in prison. Quite cool.
Awesome. Peter's not here, but he was made to talk about Shank 2. He has told me to read out his review. So here was the conclusion to Peter's review from Shank 2. Shank 2 does what a good hack-and-slash-sequel should. It adapts a few things with the aim of improvement and turns up the action. So,
Chris, have you ever read anything?
Some of the changes... Dick. Some of the changes are well... I was trying to give it a dramatic reading.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were just having a problem.
Oh, some of the changes are welcome. The new counter system adds extra depth to the combat. Some changes might not be so welcome, like having to pause to switch weapons this time around. But on the whole,
you're right, Lewis.
Shank 2 all takes right. The best bits of the first game and builds on them. It might not last much longer than a few hours to run through, but leaderboards and the survival mode should offer some replay potential and at a budget price. It's well worth blasting through if you can handle the action. Score, 8 out of 10. And then there are some pictures, I can't really read them out.
Describe them in an audio-visual manner.
There is a man entering the bar.
So in this first picture, Shank, a man in a red top, red bandana and black trousers while wearing boots, is shooting with pistols akimbo at another man who is largely in silhouette. There we go. Sorry, it'd be better if Kev did it with his...
You missed out the big dead guy at the bottom of Shank's feet.
There's also a dead dude down there.
He is wearing boots.
There's some nets. And...
also, Shank's calves are huge in proportion to the rest
of
his body.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Maybe he does lots
also,
of
also, there's like nets and shit.
See, that's how you should have read
I'd be,
the whole
I'd be
thing.
Terrible as an audiovisual dude. Like,
there are nets and shit.
It looks really nice, actually. The
you should do audio-visual description for Thor.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, it would be bad with me explaining stuff to blind people. So there's a dude and,
he's got this big thing and he's hitting shit. No.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah. Done.
I'd imagine you'd read the entire credits as well.
Kev, would you like to tell us about Uncharted 3?
Yes, it's something we haven't discussed on the podcast
never come
previously.
Up. I don't believe we've expressed any controversial opinions about it at all.
Well, I finally managed to start it after having completed Assassin's Creed Revelations. So yeah, that was pretty cool actually. I'm enjoying it. I'm gonna put that out there. As much as I enjoyed the second. Yeah. I think it's pretty sweet.
I think you're wrong.
I loved it when at some point you meet up with two other characters. I won't say which ones, but you're going around as a four for a bit, and that's cool. That made me go like, yeah, go team. We're awesome.
And you said you're at chapter 10 now, aren't you?
I believe so, yes. I've just met a character from the original Uncharted.
You're venturing into that weird castle place.
I've done that. I've done the castle.
Not the chateau.
No, no.
The castle.
I've been to France and I've been to Syria.
Yeah.
Syria, that's the one.
And I'm now in a sort of Arabian marketplace type place. I can't remember where it is.
Oh, I think you're past chapter 10 then.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, chapter 10 is when you start the level in the at night time in the big castle.
Oh, I do apologise. No, I've done that.
Because that's the turning point, although it doesn't turn into much more after that. But
I see. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I see what you mean actually about the turning point, I think. I think, yes, there's certain elements, certain supernatural elements perhaps creeping their way in, as the Uncharted series is wont to do.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I just meant from an entertainment point of view.
Oh! What, you mean that's where it starts getting rubbish?
No, that's where it starts getting a little bit better.
Better than it's already been?
Yeah, as we haven't discussed it before, I just found the before chapter 10, found it actually quite boring.
Really?
I'm going to put it out there, yeah.
All right. See, I'd be quite happy for there not to be any big shooty sections and for it to just be sort of Tomb Raider style puzzles and areas that you have to use your brain to get across rather than just like surviving a shootout. Mainly because I'm not very good at surviving a shootout.
Are you not? I thought it was a skill you would have had to have picked up by now.
Well, yeah, obviously growing up in the ghettos of Hove, shootouts are common, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you get a place on the train.
It sure bloody is.
I imagine that's...
You don't get on no train unless you got a piece.
I imagine that's just the purpose of Hove Lawns, isn't it?
People what? Just shootouts? Yes. I didn't actually grow up in Hove. I grew up in Brighton, so...
What bit of Brighton?
Lewis Road area?
Okay, so you live with scummy students your whole life.
No, I live with my family.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they were around you.
Your thing.
I
like the fact that you've got a field that's called a lawn.
Hove lawn.
No, it's a strip of grass that stretches over 3 miles or so, called Hove Lawns. Mm. It's just on the seafront. You got sea, then you got pebbles, then you got a little bit of street, and then you got lawn, and it just stretches across the seafront.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. Uncharted 3 and Hove Lawns.
Facts.
Both equally good.
To be honest, I found the latter a lot
more. So Hove Lawns is exactly as good as Uncharted 3, is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Oh, interesting.
Well, what with all those shootouts, I imagine it would be.
Controversial. And finally, Lewis. Watched Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, Waiter Soldier Major Guy.
There was an old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed the fly. Perhaps she'll die.
Exactly. So yeah, Tinker Tailor...
But then she swallowed a spider to catch the fly. And wriggled and jiggled inside her.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, how is it?
But she swallowed a cat to eat the spider?
No, she swallowed a bird to catch the fly. And then she swallowed the cat to catch the bird to catch the spider to catch the fly. But then she swallowed a dog to catch the cat. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly.
Is this roughly the level of discourse you get at school?
And then she swallowed a goat.
Yeah, because goats eat dogs.
She swallowed the goat to catch the dog, the dog to catch the cat, the cat to catch the bird, the cat to catch the spider to catch the fly. And then, not content with that, she swallowed a cow to catch the goat.
That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
They're always playing tag in the field.
The cat to catch the bird to catch the spider to catch the fly. Then to catch the cow, she swallowed a horse.
Yeah.
But the horse eventually killed her.
Horse being a vegetarian.
Yeah, aren't cows also vegetarian?
Yeah.
Well, not really, not really vegetarian.
They can't pass up the opportunity.
Not really vegetarian, more herbivores, to be honest. Vegetarian sort of implies they had a choice.
They are vegetarian, but they put a goat in front of them, they go ape shit.
All right, fair enough. Was it? Is it like...
They like turn into savage rabbits.
It's like human vegetarians and bacon.
Yes. Exactly like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, on the other hand, I thought was very...
I'd forgotten what we were talking about, to be honest, by that point. Yeah, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Who is it in it? I've forgotten the main character.
Everyone. Who isn't?
No, but the main dude.
Gary Oldman, and then there's John Hurt, Colin Firth, Mark Strong, Tom Hardy, Benedict Cumberbatch. Shitloads of people. Trigger from Only Fools and Horses.
Did you know?
Yeah, he's never done anything since.
That interesting.
Or in between.
The choir master from Vicar of Dibley.
Interesting, the Only Fools and Horses work. Just to...
For La 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 La. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very, very deliberately slow, very cool, and very well done. I liked it. I did. I have to say, I think if you're a fan of something like The Good Shepherd, you'll like this, but it's not as good as The Good Shepherd. It's got the same sort of feel to it in terms of pace and an amount of stuff going on. It's not in your face. It's all very quietly done and subdued, but it's very effective. At the
subtle
same time.
Is how I'd describe that film.
It is subtle. Very subtle.
Far too much for me. I was bored.
No, I did, because I really like that sort of stoic type of film.
The slow burner.
Yeah.
If Michael Bay had done it, then I might have been interested.
But I think, although it was slow, it was never quiet, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Everything that was there was needed to be there. It just happened to be quite slow paced, but I thought it worked. I did have to explain to my mate, because at the end, when the spies revealed and all that lot, he was like, "Well, I don't get it. Why are the other three?" And I was like, "Trigger said when they all turned up, Tinker, Taylor, Soldier, which meant he was the spy." And he was like, "Yeah, but where have they gone?" And I was like, "They've gone to that meeting to stall Tom Hardy." And I was like, "Well, I've missed it here. I've lost it." I was like, "Well, that's why you're not getting it, because you've missed the most vital part."
Yeah, I think I needed you sitting next to me in the cinema so I could... Why is he doing that? Just so I can be that really cool guy. It's
Gary Oldman. He can do what he likes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I thought it was amazingly shot. It's just really beautiful.
It is, yeah.
It's so kind of muted especially... at the same time, but...
Yeah, and it's got quite a, like a green to it, and a haze, if you like.
Yeah.
It's not stylistic or shiny or in your face. It's stylistic in that respect, but it's not like, you know, it's not like a HD stylized film.
Mm.
It's very good.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely loved Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
I thought it was great.
I loved it. And I thought everybody in it was acting superbly.
Oh yeah, they did a great job with the acting. I thought it was really nice.
I was quite surprised because, you know, in the first, you know, like 5-10 minutes, John Hurt and Mark Strong die. And I was like,
oh my god.
Yeah, I was like, that they've only been in it for like 10 minutes. You can't kill those off.
Yeah, they're too famous to kill.
But luckily there were flashbacks, because I wouldn't have coped with that otherwise.
No.
And I did take note, it took 17 minutes before Gary Oldman said a word.
Yes, yes. It's very quiet. I didn't actually know whether he would speak throughout the whole film. You know, I thought perhaps that he'd be...
He's like a silent assassin.
Yeah, yeah, like a mute mute killer.
Like one of them people that don't talk.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, what's up next? Well, we really rushed through that stuff.
Quiz, I believe, is the next bit.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, Peter doesn't get to play.
I'll do another one next week.
But... So, this quiz, is it pretty esoteric?
Yes, and it's hopefully difficult.
Great, my favourite kind. Because I'm usually so good at the easy ones.
It's games, though. It's not films.
Sweet, I know games. Actually, I don't really know games.
Okay.
No, I'll try. I'll really try and know.
Okay, so 1 to 10, as usual.
Okay.
Yarp.
You all ready?
Just let me get a thing up so I can write things down.
God. It's disgusting.
Specific.
Oh, I just licked my finger and I still had chili juice on it from making my
Nice.
Pretty spicy tongue right now.
Okay. Tell me what the quiz is. What's going on?
What? Okay, 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Okay, question 1. The early Sega game Flicky starred a small blue bird who rescued Chirped. In which far more successful franchise can Flicky be found needing to be rescued?
Hmm, really rings a bell. Little blue Flicky. Someone's clicking. I can hear Googling.
Chris, no, I'm looking at train times.
Yeah, likely story. Don't worry about paying any attention to the quiz or anything.
I appreciate that.
Just, I'm a dick like that, you know?
Flicky. Who the flick is Flicky?
Question 2. If a chocobo is a bird, what is a moogle? What is a moogle?
Oh. I don't know how specific to go here. Are we talking genus or species or... sort of, say you've got birds, you've got fish, you've got mammals, you've got reptiles, you've got amphibians. Are we going for that sort of category or are we going deeper?
It's not as broad as like mammals, but,
right,
you know, bird,
okay,
cat, dog, I'll accept species.
Cool.
Question 3. What was the full name of the last human government on the planet Serra?
I don't even know what that game that's from.
No. I don't know.
Question 4. Aperture Science was granted an open-ended contract thanks to their portal gun. But the Take-A-Wish Foundation and which other program were commercial failures? Question 5. A Mass Effect field is created when an electrical current is introduced to what? Question 6. In which game did you need to survive Death Tower in order to go home?
Death Tower?
Yep.
I'll point out, I've got exactly 1 so far, so I'm doing terribly.
Question 7. If Peach is waiting for Mario and Zelda is waiting for Link, who is Torna waiting for?
Torna?
Torna. Not Tawny, Torna. Although spelt the same, but with an A.
Thanks.
It's all right. Just in case that helps.
Yeah, I did need that clarification. Cheers.
Question 8. The British claimed to have had a secret weapon with which to fight the Chimera.
A secret?
Weapon. Which fight the Chimera. It turned out to be a certain type of Chimera called what? Question 9. The first ever time that players take control of Soap McTavish is during which particular career landmark? And question 10. The oldest creature on Earth is the only one who can help you defeat the villainous alien species known as the Vortex. But in order to defeat them, you will need to travel back in time. Name that game.
What? Can you repeat that, please?
The oldest creature on Earth is the only one who can help you defeat the villainous alien species known as the Vortex. But defeating them requires you to travel back in time. Name that game.
Okay.
How many do you think you got?
Well, I got 5, and I am confident of 0.
Oh.
I answered 8. I'm confident of 3?
Ooh.
Maybe.
Okay, Flicky. Which far more successful franchise can Flicky be found needing to be rescued?
Is it Sonic?
Chris, you got anything?
No.
It is Sonic. Well done.
Yeah.
He's one of the little birds that comes out of the battery at the end. Question 2. If a chocobo is a bird, what is a moogle?
Chris,
do
you want to go first?
Is it like a cow?
It's not, no.
I put
see where
a
you
cat.
Went there, though. It's not. It's a bat.
Really?
It's a bat-like creature.
A moogle?
Yep.
Is not a cat.
Nope, it's a bat-like creature from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a cat.
No, it's a bat-like creature.
Sort of a bat and a cat, really, to look
it's,
at it.
It's got wings.
Yeah, but it's also got whiskers and little ears. And
no, it's
I
more
suppose
of a bat than it is a cat.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Question.
It's a cat with bat wings.
Question 3. What was the full name of the last human government on the planet Sera?
I got nothing.
Yeah, no idea.
It's the Coalition of Organized Governments, otherwise known as COG.
From
Gears of War.
Gears of War, yeah.
Question 4. Aperture Science was granted an open-ended contract thanks to their portal gun, but the Take-A-Wish Foundation and which other program were commercial failures?
I've guessed a Black Mesa.
No, that's not them. I don't know, though, but it's definitely not Black Mesa.
All right.
It's from Portal, and the other program was the Counter Heimlich Maneuver, which ensured choking.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't really understand the question, to be honest.
Question 5. A Mass Effect field is created when an electrical current is introduced to what?
Ezo.
I was going to say dark matter, so I was wrong.
Oh, nearly, though. It
Element
is
Zero.
Element Zero, which is effectively what we call dark matter.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, I love that game.
Which, is, to be fair, though, I haven't played that series. It's just something I vaguely remember.
You definitely should. It will be the best thing in your life.
I've not played any of them either.
Mass Effect 2 is all you need. You don't need to play 1. In fact, 1 would probably put you off. But play Mass Effect 2, because it is amazing. If you like Skyrim, and you also like sci-fi, then it's definitely for you.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Question 7. In which game did you need to survive Death Tower in order to go home?
Is it Doodle Jump?
No.
Is it The Orcs?
No. It's Flashback.
Okay.
Never heard of it.
You've never heard of Flashback?
I don't think so.
On the Mega Drive?
No, it's not ringing any bells.
You play a bloke who wakes up in the jungle, he's got no memory.
I thought Doodle Jump was a pretty clever answer, to be honest.
No, it wasn't.
Alright.
It's wrong. How Fine. Do you not know what Flashback is?
I'll Google it now and see if I recognise the screenshot.
Question 8. If Peach is waiting for Mario and Zelda is waiting for Link, who is Torna waiting for?
I guessed at Star Fox.
No.
No idea.
Orcs.
No. Crash Bandicoot.
Is it?
Yeah.
She is fit. I remember her.
That caused arguments during my research.
Did it?
Apparently the director of the game and the owner or or person in charge of Universal Interactive had a massive falling out because the owner of Universal thought it was overtly sexist.
It was pretty
and that's why she didn't appear again until like the sixth version of that game.
Mm-hmm. There you go. When I thought you said, well, I thought you meant it caused arguments when you were doing your research. I was like, who are you arguing?
No. Like, it didn't cause arguments. Question 8. The British claim to have a secret weapon with which to fight the Chimera. It turned out to be a certain type of Chimera called what?
Glowy Chimera, brackets, not lambent.
I just said orcs.
Lambent are from Gears of War.
Yeah, I know. They're the equivalent of the glowy Chimera, but...
It was a glowy Chimera, and it's called Angel.
Oh, bloody Angel.
Yeah. Question 9. The first ever time we take control of Soap McTavish is during which particular career landmark?
Again, it was a guess, but I put the favela.
Nope.
I said killing the orcs.
No. So I don't think you're taking this seriously,
yeah,
Chris.
Did you find your train times, though?
Yeah, but I'm not going anyway.
It was, in fact, his first day with the SAS.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
And question 10, if you don't get it from this description, then the oldest creature on Earth is the only one who can help you defeat the villainous alien species known as the Vortex, but defeating them also requires you to travel back in time. Name that game.
Is it the Doctor Who adventure game?
No.
Is it Chrono Trigger?
No.
Is it Time Splitters?
It is, of course, Echo the Dolphin.
What?
Was that the plot?
Exactly.
I didn't know Echo the Dolphin had a plot.
Yeah. No, the plot for Echo the Dolphin is you're a dolphin, find the crystals.
No.
Yeah, that's about it.
His pod and other marine life were sucked up into the air by the aliens who needed water.
They'd also run out of food. That is not
so
the
plot
to Echo the Dolphin.
That marine life that they sucked up out of the sea. So then you had to go and find the oldest creature on Earth after speaking to a blue whale. But the creature on Earth no longer had the power to do what you needed. So you had to travel back in time to like 65 million BC to meet past oldest creature in the Earth to steal his globe, then go back to in time to the present, give that globe to the new oldest creature of the Earth, and then he's chucked you up into space with the aliens.
Well, the oldest creature on the Earth
gave you
the Doctor.
Special power to turn.
He's like 900 years old.
Thing into a weapon.
So yeah, the Doctor's 900 years old, going back in time obviously, and the Vortex is the kind of bullshit name they make up for Doctor Who enemies, so
it doesn't make you right. That was the plot to Echo the Dolphin. That's how can mental. You not have known that?
Yeah, no, stupid really. So I got
ridiculous.
Sonic, I got Cat, I got...
No you didn't.
I so did.
You got Sonic.
I got Sonic and I got Ezo.
And you got Mass Effect. What did you get, Chris? None of them.
No.
Yeah! Two wins me the game.
So, Kev wins.
Hooray!
Yay! All right. Question time.
Question time.
Nice.
Okay.
Thanks.
Finding the questions and shit.
Okay. My impression of a baby seagull for you there.
That's a pretty good impression, actually. SH number 7, that's my little brother, says, have any of you played the Mass Effect 3 demo yet? I'm loving it.
I didn't even know there was one. I've been so disconnected with the world because I removed Twitter at work and now I don't know anything that's happening in the world.
No, I've not played it.
I probably will now that I know there is one. I don't know. I quite want to go into it just fresh and not knowing what's going on when it comes out.
Yeah. Peter says, could you vote for Kev's tea? Which is nice of him to say.
Oh, thank you, Pete.
I did it already. Do you know when the voting on that closes, Kev?
I believe it's the beginning of March.
So I'll try and remind Peter to put a link to that in the post.
Oh, thanks.
And be all like, yeah, vote for it and shit.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. and then like totally win me some money. I don't even know what the competition's to win.
Vote for me. Why? Because.
Yeah. You know what makes me sad is that X-Men First Class isn't available to rent from Love Film as a Blu-ray. You can only get it as DVD.
Oh, that does suck.
What kind of nonsensical madness is that?
So naughties.
Teflon says, on a scale of 1 to I want a baby, how cute do you think PS Vita game boxes appear to women? Which I find a weird and mildly sexist question.
I'm not going to lie, I don't fully understand it.
I wasn't entirely listening to it. Can we repeat it, please?
On a scale of 1 to I want a baby, how cute do you think PS Vita game boxes appear to women?
I haven't seen any of the game boxes. Let me have a quick Google.
They don't look that special. Could you go get Kate and ask her? Just get her opinion. Yeah,
she's just over here.
Kate, how cute is this box?
On a scale from 1 to I want a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, she
make sure she rates it on that scale.
Hear you guys. Is there? Have you guys got a good picture of one?
Let me see.
Oh, they are pretty cute. This one. Oh, a baby. Hey, Kate, can you come here a second, please? We need a female opinion on something. Just as a disclaimer, you will go on the podcast. You're allowed to talk. It's the one time I allow you to talk.
At all.
Yes, no, that's in general. How does this game box make you feel on a scale of 1 to... What was it, Chris?
1 to I want a baby.
I want a baby. I think it's cute or not cute.
What, the size of it?
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe he's just very big.
He's not a giant man. Although he does have a wall like we used to have in the bedroom. Yeah, 80s glass brick.
Oh,
yeah, nice.
It's just a small little box, isn't it?
Yeah.
The packaging isn't cute. He's not very cute.
No, I don't think we can judge the man. That's just a Google image search.
For... Oh, good. He's not one of your friends. Good.
No, that's Lewis.
How dare you?
Thanks.
When are you getting your PlayStation Vita?
Well, I'm just in a podcast now, but talk about it.
Oh, what? That was so harsh.
I'm sure you've talked, I will be forgiven in time.
You've talked and now silence again.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, she gave me a that's fine face. Either that or please leave face.
So
or
much.
Yeah, I'm just doing a podcast just now.
Anyway, the official verdict was about 2 on the scale that Teflon set out. So.
Oh, it's not that cute. We even asked a woman, so what more can you ask?
Okay, I'm sorry to belittle you on the podcast just to make myself seem funnier.
Isn't that all you do?
It's not fun to belittle women, Chris.
It's not.
Although Little Women is a good film.
To say. To be a little woman.
I've never tried.
I'd also like to point out to Chris Brown that just because you have a Grammy, it doesn't make it okay that you hit women.
With it.
Those two things aren't linked.
Mm. What did he say?
It's okay to hit women. I've got a Grammy.
Basically, yeah.
Is that what he said?
Basically, he said, all you haters can hate, but I got a Grammy. That's the ultimate fuck you. Like, that doesn't really... Those two issues don't intersect at all.
No, because he hits women with his Grammy, doesn't he? So,
yeah, unless that is what he's taken to.
Rihanna was in like the front row as well.
Was she?
What a fucking dick.
He should be in prison, not winning an award.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
What did he win an award for anyway? His new song with that fucking talentless waste of space Pitbull goes on about being like New York, Miami, and Los Angeles, and then says, this is international love. I hate to break it to you, Divo. That's all in America. That's national.
Yeah.
Now, go beat someone else up, you cunt.
Yeah. I do not like him. He is not a good man.
He's not. He is a villain. Villain!
I
Chris Brown, villain!
because I sort of when
Corey's when it came up,
I presumed that people were bringing it up because he won the Grammy and that it was like, but by the sound of it, it wasn't only the once. I just assumed it was the one time that happened a few years ago.
No, it was at the most recent one.
Because I sort
it was actually at the award show.
Mm.
But I was sort of thought, okay, well, he beat her a few years ago, but it seems unfair to bring it up again. Perhaps he has learned his lesson since then, but clearly not. Clearly he's just an arsehole.
He's a dick.
Yeah. Top Gear Sam says, in the zombie universe, in the zombie apocalypse, what weapon would you use? Who would you fight by your side? Who would you have fight by your side? And what song would you kick zombie ass to?
I would use a probably like a solid oak rolling pin.
Nice.
I'd have anyone that can handle themselves fight by my side.
Yeah.
And
yeah, boy.
That didn't need like babysitting throughout the whole thing. And I would do all of that to the tunes of Fairground Attraction, and It's Got to Be Perfect.
It's got to be.
What are you doing?
Perfect. It's got B has not got that many syllables in it. I hate to tell them, but it just doesn't.
Okay.
It's just a fact. B has one syllable. You cannot go B he 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 he.
If you're picking up on
cheating.
That, perfect's not got that many syllables.
I know, but at least perfect, they're not really going too far. Like the B, they're adding a lot of syllables to that.
Yeah, but she goes perfect. That's a lot of syllables.
All right, well, fuck them then. They just don't understand how language works.
I think you don't understand how music works.
Kev, what was your answer? Have you got an answer to this?
I'd take Kate with me, obviously, to protect her, and she's got a mean right hook, so I think she could help out. I've heard, you know, just from experience, she's not, you know, Chris Brown.
I was going to say, it's the opposite to the Chris Brown situation.
Yeah.
Are you a victim of domestic abuse, Kev?
Very much so.
It's a safe
and
space.
Loving it.
Jesus,
no, it's not a joking matter.
I'm sorry, that was too far, yeah.
What did
domestic,
you say?
Domestic abuse, not funny.
No, totally
What
not.
Did you say, Chris?
Oh, I just realized we'd gone way too far.
What did you say?
I said, wasn't it?
That's wrong.
Don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I would, as a weapon, I would use a whisk. A hand whisk, not an electric whisk.
I like the fact that you specify hand, because at least electric whisk, you've got the potential of doing a little bit of damage.
Yeah,
you're
going to plug it
whisk.
In.
Yeah, you'd have to... That's
and you might accidentally hit your hip bone with the plug or something, and that would really hurt.
Can you not get like a battery-powered whisk?
And in a zombie apocalypse, the chances of the electricity failing are quite high.
Exactly.
That's
unless
true.
You take the electric whisk and use it manually, and then you could use the plug as an extra weapon. You could use it like a...
Like an ankylosaurus's tail.
Yeah.
If you don't mind your dinosaurs being used as analogies. And the music I would have accompanying me is probably Led Zeppelin's The Immigrant Song. Because it's just quite a tune.
I judge your mind. I'd have twice the size.
Oh,
ching!
Yeah, they split up. Don't ever talk to me about them.
Actually, in fact, I'd stick with Fairground.
Yes, to be honest, not the best zombie music anyway. So, although I appreciate the sentiment, Lewis. Thank you.
It's all right.
It's listeners, in case you don't know, that's the name of my old band. So yeah, check them out. We're on iTunes. Actually, I don't think we are. I think our contract ran out.
You're on Amazon.
You can get it on Amazon MP3. I don't even know if you can, because the company that we paid to distribute us, I think, because we stopped paying them, so they've stopped distributing us, possibly. Don't
Which
know.
Does seem reasonable.
Which means that any copy you do have is limited edition now, so...
Ooh.
Well done.
I've got a copy somewhere, I think.
I so, Chris, do you have an answer to the question?
What weapon would I use? I would probably use something like a baseball bat, or possibly... a crossbow, if I felt that I could get the ammo for it.
You're a conventional man, aren't you?
Yeah. As for who would I fight by my side, Jean-Claude Van Damme seems a good bet, if I could get my hands on him. Otherwise, just like Davs, I guess.
The problem with that would be, if Jean-Claude Van Damme were turned, that would be one hell of a hard zombie to beat.
Yeah.
But no, because zombies don't retain their skill sets.
No, but he'd still just be massive, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that's true, but it just still. But I mean, are we talking like classic? Strength. Are we talking like classic, like slow lumbering zombie? Because I've got a crossbow, just back away a bit, shoot me in the head with the crossbow, done.
See, I like to think of zombies as the
21st century
later.
Style running, screaming sort of zombies.
So you're talking more like sorry infected than zombies, really. But, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. And what song? It would have to be Ride of the Valkyries, just because classic. Bar 66 says, "Let me come on." No. Or just talk about Vita for a while. Either way will do me. Any Vita game recommendations? Well, we talked about Vita for a while, but we don't have any recommendations because Peter's not.
I have a recommendation.
Vita.
I recommend one of the launch titles.
Yes, recommend the games that are available to buy.
I think Escape Plan is probably going to be one of the most addictive little games.
Can you confirm, is that about monkeys? For some reason, I think that's about monkeys.
Not in the slightest, no.
I don't know why I think that's about monkeys.
You're an idiot.
Why is Colossal Blue's comment on PSN needs more monkeys?
I've often wondered that.
Is there a are any of the games about monkeys?
No.
I don't know why I think Escape Plan's about monkeys then.
Terrible just dreams.
Just in my head that it's about monkeys.
You might be thinking of Little Deviants. They look kind of monkey-like, I suppose. No, not really.
No, like actual monkeys.
I think Escape Plan guys maybe look a bit monkey-like, but they're kind of almost gooey. They're like if World of Goo little guys evolved into sort of humanoid shape and had masks. Yeah. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah. All right. Scuba Steve 88 has given us a link, so I will have to post that in the chat if it actually loads.
What is it?
He says, he says, is this probably the greatest movie idea ever conceived?
What?
No, upload the link.
Is this the greatest movie trailer ever seen?
Oh, ever conceived. It's the trailer for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. And without even seeing that, I've actually paused that at 0 minutes and 1 second, I'm going to say yes. Yes, it is. Just because Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Just
from Tim Burton. Who plays Abraham Lincoln? Johnny Depp.
Probably Johnny Depp.
Helena Bonham Carter.
She plays all the zombies. True. Vampires, whatever.
Yeah, I'm thinking probably they'll win all the Oscars next year.
I'm watching it as we speak.
Yeah, same.
How awesome is it?
Oh, it's produced by Tim Burton.
How was it?
Oh, that's disappointing.
And the director of Wanted.
I like the music.
Hmm.
Yeah, sure, why not? Although I think that opens the gateway to other historical figures in fantastical scenarios. You know,
like
yeah.
George Bush, werewolf hunter.
I'm not sure he's historical enough. I was thinking, I don't know, Henry VIII zombie slayer.
you find out the truth about Theodore Roosevelt. He wasn't in a wheelchair because he had... whatever the disease, polio, when he was a kid. He got put in a wheelchair by what would be a good one? Mummies. Totally mummies.
Mummies, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're quite slow and lumbering, so he'd actually...
Oh, that's Franklin Roosevelt.
Not in The Mummy.
Actually, it would make sense. Think about it, because that was Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Delarose Roosevelt, who was in the wheelchair. It was Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, actually probably was some kind of monster hunter. He was pretty badass.
Oliver Cromwell at the gates of hell. Yeah. Totally watch that.
Alright. Yeah, that trailer seems pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. Seems pretty cool.
Top Gear Sam also says, what games would you Vita games recommend launch? We talked about that. Find one about monkeys. TSA G-Town says, I haven't listened to last week's podcast yet. Did you use any of my questions? Probably. It was like last week. Anyone remember?
I haven't listened to it.
I can't remember, no.
No.
I wasn't there. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here. Kevling says, are Vita game boxes designed specifically to make PS3 owners feel like they suddenly have massive hands?
What? I didn't hear any of that, Chris. Your Skype cut out.
Sorry, I started laughing, was the problem. Are Vita game boxes designed specifically to make PS3 owners feel like they suddenly have massive hands?
It's kind of a phenomenon we just discovered, actually, just now.
Yeah. But yes, it does seem like that potentially is true. And also Blair says, big Vita cast next week with all the staff members with a Vita. No. Probably yes, actually.
Yeah, hopefully I'll have one by then.
Yeah, and then we'll like get other people with a Vita running shit. Like Al will talk about stuff and then disappear halfway through the podcast if you get bored. Like Al always does.
I'm actually going to go now, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he doesn't say that. He just drops it in the text chat and then doesn't say goodbye at all.
Yeah. I've gone.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you later, Al, then. Bye. Yes. We love you, Al. You're a wonderful man. So I guess it's a forum question time in that case.
Yeah, there's precisely...
Oh, I have a... Wait. I have an email question. And then we'll move on. Jason Millis says, two parts to this question. Would it be possible to put the first part in the podcast post to Tar? Probably, if I remember. Is there anything apart from the secret stuff we're working on that I don't know what that secret stuff is, so it must be pretty fucking secret, that you'd like to see done in regards to TSA's folding out home team in order to get it more recognised and embraced by the community? Currently only about 0.5% of the TSA membership fold.
I do.
What?
I fold.
Oh, I thought you meant you had an idea for making it better. No, I think you present it pretty well and shit like that. It's just hard to get people to do it, you know? Whatevs.
TSA points incentives.
Yeah, that'd probably be good.
That's my idea for you there. For the top folder of the month.
Yeah, but that'd just always be Red Star Glow. That's, yeah, that's like a little true. Bit unfair.
That is true. All right, to the most improved folder.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. Yeah.
Person with the greatest difference from the previous month or something like that.
Yeah. That just means Red Star Glow's just got like start buying servers. Just well, entirely.
If that's true, then hopefully we'll, you know, get closer to an Alzheimer's cure. So
yeah,
it's kind of win-win, really.
Seems reasonable. Also says, do you think it'd be worth renaming the team to Oscar Mike Media and have members from the sister sites contributing together?
You record again.
Oh, he says, do you think it'd be worth renaming the team to Oscar Mike Media and having members from the sister sites contributing together?
Isn't that what this is?
No, he means for the folding team.
Oh, sorry, we're still on the folding. Sorry, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a pretty significant crossover between TSA membership and, like, Screen Demon membership, really.
Yeah, because don't they, the other sister sites not really have any members?
I don't know. Lewis?
Huh?
How big's your fan base over there at Screen Demon? I mean, do you have a lot of people on Screen Demon who aren't on TSA, do you think?
There's me and there's Tom H. Lord.
No, not writers.
No,
readers.
But that's our fan base.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the amount.
You read
of
each
readers.
Other's articles.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
You're like, oh, we love each other. That's about it.
If people are reading them, then I have no idea because they're not.
I read them.
Not doing anything to.
I still think that Oscar Mike Media needs a login that works across all the sites just because people don't want to have to register.
Yeah, I think it will do eventually.
Only
once.
One more login.
Yeah, but
people have to log in all over the place.
Yeah,
one
but it feels like it should be the same one.
Well, I think that's something that might happen.
That's
if,
the reason I haven't registered thus far. It's just cause I haven't been bothered.
If Screen Demon
lawyer
picks up place.
What was the last thing that was reviewed then?
I didn't say I'm regular. I saw post, but I don't think it was your post, but I saw the post that was about, what was it about? Hang on.
You can't go on the website.
Looking through No, none of them. Nothing on the front page. There's a really interesting looking article that I read recently.
Thanks.
It was so interesting I've sort of forgotten it, but I'm sure it was really good. Hey, Troll Hunter. I saw Troll Hunter. I saw Tom's reviewed that. Another podcast, perhaps.
Yeah. All right. Formal questions.
Yeah, so there was precisely no answers to Stephen's post this week. But in other news, his post is bigger than it's ever been. So, should I just read it? I'll read it.
He did like 10 questions. Don't do all 10. That seems excessive.
I don't know if it's more of a... It looks more like a sort of a story, really. Small tale. So, Solid Stephen, I know you are reading this, Kev, so Boobs Batman Jar Jar Binks says, it's that time of the week again, and the snow is starting to melt, smiley face. The features editor, formerly known as Rayen, and has a shrine to Batman and Catwoman Chris. It's very bad.
I don't have a shrine at all.
Well, apparently, according to Stephen, you do. But Stephen says a lot of things.
I have like this Batman torch, but I don't think that's really a shrine.
The current owner of Oscar Mike Media and head chef but never makes anyone any food, Peter, well, he's not here, the man who won his way into the hearts of the staff and currently running on the TSA 0.4 version, the slightly outdated Kevatron 400, and the man who watches too many films and is currently addicted to Skyrim, Lewis, want you to ask them a few hundred questions. Okay, maybe not 100, but still, they want you to ask them a few questions and for some reason want a bacon and chip sandwich.
That sounds terrible.
I assume that he doesn't get many replies because he confuses people.
Yeah, maybe something slightly simpler, Stephen, in the future. Just, any questions?
You're right. Got any
By
questions?
The time you get to the end of it, you're like, I've forgotten what I'm supposed to actually write here now.
So that's the end of the first paragraph. he goes on to say, if you ask or have asked a question in the past, then you know the rules of this thread, which is a very southern sounding sentence. If you ask or have asked a question in the past, then you know the rules of this thread. For those who are new to this, let me tell you the rules through the medium of tea drinking. Oh, you can't see me, can you? Okay. Then the first rule of TSA thread is that you don't talk about the TSA cast thread. Wait, wrong thread. All you need to do is drop a few questions down in this thread and the lads
what
will
are you
answer
on,
them.
Stephen?
Unless they can't be asked or if you have not bribed them to do so. All the questions in this thread are to be answered by the TSA cast lads only, as they loathe those who answer them before they get a chance and will send me around to cause you to turn insane. No, seriously, they will do it, as it's in my contract to do their bidding. Bloody cheapskates. He moves on.
Cheapskates?
Yeah, I'm not sure. What is your all-time favourite video game ending? Well, that'll be spoilers, wouldn't it? So we're not going to say that. Never Dead seems to have failed, so do you think it's becoming harder for new innovative IP to be successful this generation? I would say that Never Dead is average, but not completely crap.
I don't know what Never Dead is.
I've never heard of Never Dead.
You're Never Dead.
I think that's half the problem.
Never Dead is a game that Jim reviewed and apparently is fucking terrible. No, that's a bit harsh, but it's just generally not good.
I think
he gave it like a 4 or something.
A case for it not being innovative new IP and just being new IP.
Well, it is innovative. Some of the stuff in it is quite innovative. It's just generally bad.
Well, I think if you make a new IP that's also a really good game, that'd probably help.
Yeah, I mean, because it's quite cool because it's got like this stuff with limb dismemberment where like they can chop your limbs off, but because you're immortal, you can go and pick your limb back up and stick it on or use your limb as a weapon and beat them up with it.
Sounds pretty sweet. Whilst hopping, presumably.
And then if you get your head cut off, it basically turns into Katamari, so you have to roll your head around and pick up all the other body parts.
It sounds mental. I know the problem.
What's that?
It wasn't called Never Dead Modern Warfare.
Call of Duty Never Dead.
I think I think that's where they went wrong.
So, in answer to your question then, Stephen, yes. So, a few months ago, this, he goes on to his next paragraph. A few months ago, EA told the gaming press that all of their games will have a multiplayer feature. Do you agree with them that every game should have a multiplayer section?
No.
No. Chris?
No.
What games do you think should have won an award or two but ended up with a bag full of dust? In what? Are you talking about BAFTAs? Who knows?
I'm pretty sure they didn't just give out bags full of dust.
Oh, that you never received harsh. A dust bag?
No.
You haven't lived.
Basically, I assume he means what games do we feel were unfairly overlooked?
I think Arkham Asylum was overlooked when it first came out.
It did win Game of the Year at the BAFTAs.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Huh.
In which case,
that's pretty major.
Enslaved.
Yes.
Yeah, Enslaved was good.
Well done, Kev.
Thanks. I bloody loved Enslaved. That was brilliant.
I think God of War was overlooked for awards.
Yeah, I think God of War was.
And in fact, Heavenly Sword was really blooming good as well.
Yeah. I did enjoy Heavenly Sword.
And possibly even a few things like Killzone, like 2 and 3, and...
No, 3 didn't deserve anything. 2 did.
And then smaller stuff as well, like Ico and Shadow of the Colossus.
What about Limbo?
Limbo, I think, won like best downloadable a few places.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. If I dared to out crazy Simp, presumably he's referring to Symposium, would I cause the space-time continuum to explode? No, I'd say you're both just trying too hard. Although, to be fair to Symposium, he hasn't responded, so perhaps he's taking the moral high ground there. Also, can we make hating tea a bannable offence? Well, tea's disgusting, so that's never going to go, is it? Quite literally, one of the foulest drinks in existence. So,
well, I think you're wrong there, but each to their own.
Yeah, sure, each to their own wrong opinion.
We'll agree to disagree.
Well, you will.
I will, you're right.
I don't agree to that.
I don't care.
So, do you think developers / publishers are getting lazy nowadays regarding DLC?
Yes.
For example,
overall,
the very common map packs tend to be recycled DLC. There's Stephen.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to new DLC from Skyrim. Because that sounds quite interesting.
I think DC Universe have done DLC in quite an interesting way. They've just recently finished the storyline that shipped with the game. Like, the bad guy is defeated and a new thing is going to start happening. So it actually, because it's all obviously all online, then everyone can be guaranteed the same experience. So with the new content, it's just like, yeah, no, this has happened now. So it just kind of makes a new episode of the game. Kind of making it more episodic than previously thought. Jar Jar Binks is the sole reason why the Jedi were wiped out. If you were in the Star Wars universe and knew this fact, what would you do to him? Well, none of that is... shut up!
Can we stop now?
Well, halfway there, so...
no, later. That's enough. That's enough of his questions. We said we wouldn't read all of them.
He told me that you'd banned him from asking questions.
Well, I think, Stephen, that perhaps, you know, in the future, maybe give others a chance to ask.
Maybe just don't ask all the questions.
Let's not be out of order. At least he's being enthusiastic.
Yeah, no, God. I would hate for him to, you know, well, I'd hate for us to be on his wrong side, really. I'd fear for my life, if nothing else. No, Stephen, I do appreciate the hard work you put into these posts, but clearly you're scaring people off, so might have to tighten the leash a little bit there. Pull the old chain up a little. Maybe even keep you in a kennel outside now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or at least take the lid off his cot.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah, by popular demand, I'm stopping reading your questions. Goodbye. So, the end of the podcast, then.
You said goodbye, that's how we end, so.
All right. I'm happy to end it there.
This will be episode 52 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast, then we might, I don't know. I was thinking we might go back to episode 1 next week, but probably not. Should we boot it?
We managed to get through the whole of this without mentioning that it's the last one for the entire year's worth of podcasts.
Yeah, well, it kind of felt a bit disappointing because Peter's not here, you know?
Yeah. Still, we'll be back next week with podcast 2012, episode 1.
Are we actually going to go back to episode 1? Should we do that? Just fuck with people's heads, really confuse them?
No.
No,
because if you put 2012 episode 1, it just makes it look like we've been lazy for the first 2 months of the year.
Yeah, that's exactly true.
And maybe we could have some kind of a theme tune revamp. Don't know, tough guy.
Oh,
what
do
you
that. Yeah,
that.
Let's do that.
You what, sorry?
Let's do that. Let's have a new theme tune and shit.
Yeah.
All right, then. Yeah, so
wait, that means I have to write one, doesn't it?
I was going to say, yeah. Get on that, then, Kev.
It's your job.
I could do it, but by the time it's over, people would just be too depressed.
They'd be weeping.
You'd write this beautiful piano piece, but it'd be about 10 minutes long. You'd be like, oh God, I feel so harrowed.
But you get past it, and Chris is just like, hello, this is podcast number 50, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so depressed now. I just can't go on.
It's just so beautiful. You can tell there's emotion in the music, and it just really means it.
Oh, this has been episode 52. Oh,
you made yourself cry a little bit then.
You made yourself so sad about something that doesn't actually exist.
I'm such a method actor.
That's what that means, right? Yeah. This is episode 52 of the Oscar Media Podcast. I've been, as always, as per normal, not as always, your host, Chris Lips. Can you get me at twitch.com/HalPro? And I have a Batman torch that I'm still playing with. Every week I just play with this Batman torch. I've been joined this week by editor-in-chief over at screendemon.com, Lewis Gaston, who you can get at twitch.com/LewisGaston. I've also been joined this week by Kev Adso, who's just a generally lovely man. You can get at twitch.com/KevatronUp400.
Well done, Chris.
That's it, really. Hopefully Peter will be back next week and not be in a car park.
Been great talking to you both.
Yeah, I've had a really nice time.
It's been absolutely fantastic.
So good. And you know, listener, I hope you've enjoyed yourself as well, because I don't know about you, but I've had a really, really good time.
Oh yeah, no, I've loved it. I've loved every second. You know, I think for a podcast, it's brilliant. It's spectacular.
It's snappy, is what it is. You know, it just gets to the point, gets the job done, and then you go home. I think it's an excellent format, and it's excellent presenters, and
it's so easy to listen to. That, you know, you could be on a bus or in a park. You could be anywhere listening to this.
Very accessible is how I describe it. You know, there's no in jokes here. There's no, you know, inane rambling. It's just
absolutely,
you know, spot on.
It's no offensive language or jokes.
No. Yeah. Sure.
It's really one for the family.
Yeah, it's great. All right. Well, I'll see you later. Anyway.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.